Could you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, please? And while you're doing that, I want you to think about a question for a moment. Why are you here this morning? Why aren't you at the beach on this lovely day when outside? Why are you stuck in here? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to shout out your answers. But if I did, I think there'd actually probably be a variety of reasons. Maybe you're here to see friends. Perhaps someone invited you and you just thought, why not? Is it because we get better biscuits here than any other church in the area? Or did you just wake up early enough this morning that you could make it? Maybe, just maybe, Sunday morning is the highlight of your week because you get to come and worship God and fellowship with others. Or is it just because it's what you always do? None of us could probably put it down to just a single reason. You may have a primary reason, but I imagine all of us could actually come up with a number of reasons why we're here today, if we took the time to think about it. And the reasons may well have changed over time, especially if you've been coming here for years. Well, we all have those reasons if we thought about it. How often do we just come here because it's what you do on a Sunday morning? Just like we can go to work because it's time to clock in and do our hours, we can sometimes just turn up at church because it's what we do on a Sunday morning. In many ways, that can be a good thing. It's a good thing to be consistent, to be dependable. It wouldn't be very good if the worship group or the kids' church teachers or the preacher just decided they weren't going to come this morning. Although as this sermon goes on, you may be thinking differently about that last point. Even if you haven't got a specific job to do like those I just mentioned then on any given Sunday morning, OCF is still a better place if you decide to turn up. You being here is important for all of us because we need each other to worship with, to pray for each other, to encourage one another, just to chat with over a cup of tea at the end, share our lives with each other. The problem, though, with turning up because it's what you always do is that we can so easily live unexamined lives. Work, church, everything that we do can just be what we do. I think we can all have periods like that where we just kind of drift through life on autopilot. It can happen with groups of people and organisations as well, including churches. Churches are dying all the time, including churches that once had thousands in them. And if you were to look at why all these churches died, you'd find a single common denominator. Churches that die are churches that don't change. They just drift through life doing what they've always done. Most of them were once considered successful, but they got so wedded to that thing that made them successful, that brought them all the success they wanted, that doing that way things the way they'd always done them became the most important thing to them, and it ended up costing them everything. I've heard and read of so many stories of new pastors being brought into churches and continually being told, that's not how we do things around here. And so the pastor has a choice between adhering to the status quo and continuing the death spiral, or trying to change things and usually getting fired for it. That's not how we do things around here is not a phrase I ever want to hear people saying in OCF, because it's a mantra for a dying church. We are not here because we believe in doing church a certain way. We are here because we want to reach Ormskirk and beyond with the gospel. And if something we're doing isn't working, then we need to change it. Because it's our message that's important, not our methods. This is why we've been looking at the structure of OCF over the last year or so. It's not because we think we've been struggling as a church. I certainly don't think we have. There's a lot of great stuff going on in this church right now. But once you stop examining what you're doing as a church, once you stop looking at how you can do things better and you're content with how things are, that's when you start taking your first steps along. That's not how we do things down here road and start becoming a dying church. We've been considering our structure because we want to grow as a church, to see more people come to know and follow Jesus. The structure of any organization has to be designed around the reason that the organization exists. And ultimately, we exist to reach those outside the church. Let's look at Matthew 28 then, reading verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Can I be really cheeky and ask someone to get me a cup of water, because I'm not going to last half an hour without any? Thanks, Mike. This was the passage known as the Great Commission that we were looking at last time I taught Kids Church. And I asked a question that some of you might think is a bit controversial. So I'm going to ask you today, are some bits of the Bible more important than others? If you think that question's controversial, then you're not going to like my answer, because I think the answer's yes. And I said as much to the kids. And maybe I shouldn't be telling you this now, because some of your parents might want to be dragging your kids out of kids' church. But to be honest, you're in for a bit of a dull sermon today, so I needed this controversy to liven it up. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that the whole Bible is important. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I think that's one of the more important verses. I believe it all to be the word of God. But for all of us, some of the things that we say are more important than others. And I believe the same is true of God. Some of his words are more important than others. And I believe that the words of Jesus I've just read are some of the most important in the whole Bible. Because this is the instituting of the church. These are our marching orders to make disciples of all nations. I don't think you can say that this is of equal importance to knowing that the sons of Air were called Shuppim and Huppim. There are thousands of churches out there that will only exist to give you a nice Sunday morning experience and ask nothing of you in return other than sticking a few coins in when they pass the offering plate around. But we're never going to be one of those churches, because that's not what Jesus called us to do here. Meeting together on a Sunday morning is an important part of what we do, because we get to worship together and build one another up. But if this was all we did, then we'd be falling far short of the Great Commission. That's why our vision as a church is much bigger than what happens on a Sunday morning. Most of you will probably have heard this before, but it never hurts to reiterate vision. Now, our vision as a church has three strands, all of which are linked by a single word, closer. We want to be closer to God, closer together, and closer to others. It kind of worries me that Mike's taking notes at that point. First of all, all of us always need to get closer to God. You cannot get so close to God that you cannot get any closer. It's impossible. For any Christian, continually getting closer to God needs to be an imperative in their life. We need to be closer together as a community, because God designed us to need each other. Firstly, we see this in God himself, that there's community between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Community is an intrinsic part of who God is, so we shouldn't be surprised that it's so important to him for those who follow him. When we look at the early church in the book of Acts, we see that just days after Jesus had given them the Great Commission, they were living in such deep community. Acts 2 tells us they were devoted to fellowship and meeting daily. Then later in Acts, when we follow Paul on his missionary journeys, we see that every place he visited, he set up a church. He created communities because he knew that in order to get close to God, Christians needed to get close to one another. Acts 2 also tells us that as the early church drew close as a community, people from outside were drawn to them. They had the favour of all the people, and people were being saved every day. Just like the early church, we need to be close as a community so that we can get closer to others. because it's when we are close as a community that we are most clearly an example of Jesus to the world. And we have to get closer to others, because that's the ultimate end of the Great Commission. If we're only getting closer together for its own sake, then we're wasting our time. The church exists for mission. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the sake of Ormskirk and the world beyond. So the three strands of the closer vision, they're not random thoughts that just happen to be linked by the word closer. There's an order. There's the progression from closer to God to closer to others. Although for someone who's outside the church, the progression often works in the reverse order. I know everyone's journey of faith is different, so this won't be true for everyone. But for a lot of people, their first step is just becoming friends with a Christian. That point where we become closer to others. And as that friendship develops, they often start to become friends with other of that Christian's friends. And they hopefully see not just a bunch of people who happen to be Christians, but a community who through their closeness reflect Jesus and draw that person towards God. I love our vision. The way the links between the different strands of the vision work in both directions, it means that all three areas are of such high importance. And so we have to be equally committed to all these areas. But as lovely as a vision can be, it's only as good as how well it's put into action. That's where I finally get on to talking about ministry as I'm supposed to. We can all hear the closer vision and get excited about how wonderful it will be to be much closer to God and to have deeper and closer relationships with people in and outside the church. But if all you ever do with a vision is talk and dream about it, then all it will ever be is an unfulfilled dream. It all has to start with vision, but it cannot end there. Vision has to motivate us to action. And the way we fulfill the vision, not the way we can, but the way we will fulfill the vision, is through ministry areas, which are directed towards achieving the vision. Ministry areas are how we get things done. Without ministry areas, we probably all just go off and try to bring about the vision in a multitude of different ways, and probably with limited success. Without ministry areas, any worship we had would come from whoever happened to have a musical instrument with them that week. And it wouldn't be amplified because there'd be no PA team. No one would make you a cup of tea or coffee after the meeting or have brought biscuits. There'd be no kids' church or creche. So all the children would still be here in here making a noise and you'd be struggling to hear me. And don't you dare say that would make things better. Ministry areas are important because we're how we get the vision done. How we can see it come to life. I spoke about membership a couple of months ago and how if you want to be part of OCF, then serving's not an optional extra. It's too important a part of who we are for that. If you want to be a member of OCF, then serving in a ministry area is part of that. That doesn't mean that if you're not currently part of a ministry area that we're going to excommunicate you. Because we're going through this process at the moment, looking at our structure. And that's going to include reviewing all of our ministry areas. So things are a bit uncertain at the moment. But once it's sorted out, if you're not in a ministry area by Christmas, that's when we excommunicate you. If we're going to achieve our vision as a church, then having ministry areas that are focused on the vision are vital. That's why one of the changes we want to make to our structure is for every ministry area to have its own vision, which is based on the closer vision. If you're currently leading a ministry area now, I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that you're going to be expected to spend hours to come up with some long, detailed vision. It only needs to be as simple as finishing three sentences. In our ministry area, we want to bring people closer to God by, finish that sentence. We want to bring people closer together by, finish that sentence. We want to bring people closer to others by, again, finish that sentence. It really is only a small thing. Yet I believe it can bring a powerful impact to OCF for a number of reasons. The first is that it will bring us a stronger focus on achieving our vision as a church. In one of his books, Bill Hybels tells a story of when they put in a new strategic plan at his church. For in the months afterwards, He felt the church, it just wasn't firing on all cylinders with this new plan, and he couldn't figure out why. So after some digging, he discovered that some of the ministry areas weren't following the strategic plan at all and were just happily doing their own thing. He knew that to have the church firing on all cylinders, every ministry area had to have 100% commitment to their strategic plan. And so he had to get all of his staff completely focused on it. He says a lot of his staff stopped carrying his picture in their wallets after that, but that it was worth it for the impact that it had on their church. We need that same kind of focus on our vision here, because we're not aiming to try and build a group of great ministry areas. We're aiming to build a great church so that we can go and make disciples throughout Ormskirk and beyond. And that requires focus and alignment. Another reason for every ministry area to have its own version of the closer vision is that it links every role in OCF to the vision and shows that why what we do is important. Whether it's setting up and packing away, teaching kids church, working the PA desk, making the tea and coffee, looking after babies and toddlers in creche. I could go on and on. All these things help us to achieve our vision and to bring people closer to God and people. Everything we do matters. And each ministry area having its own closer vision tells everyone why what they're doing matters. It brings encouragement by reminding us why we do all those things, why they matter, even when the times when we might feel like what we do doesn't matter. I also believe that being able to see clearly how what we do helps us to achieve the vision can bring greater unity in OCF. When you can see clearly how and why what you do is important to bringing the vision about, how you're working towards the same cause as everyone else, fosters an atmosphere of working together, of mutual support, not only within people within the same ministry area as you, but with people across the whole church. Seeing people doing things that help to achieve the vision make you want to play your part even more. And so to encourage you to serve in your unique way, even if it's something completely different, because we all have our part to play in a way that no one else can. Mike spoke earlier this month about the word shalom, and how it doesn't just mean oneness with God, but oneness with the community of God as well. I believe that as we all work together for the same vision, even in different ministry areas, it will help to bring that shalom oneness. As I talked about last time I spoke, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12 that each of us is like a different body part making up the whole body that is the church. We all gain as a body whenever any one of us plays a part in helping the church to achieve our vision, just as the whole body gains from every healthy part, and the whole body suffers when any part is unhealthy. When I spoke about this picture of a church as a body, I mentioned my belief that OCF will only be able to reach its full potential when every person in OCF is reaching their full potential. I said I believe this was the essence of leadership, but then I didn't say anything more about that because I thought it would have been going off at a tangent. But I do want to explain now briefly what I meant by that, because it leads to another reason, and you'll be glad to know it's the final reason, why I believe that every ministry area needs its own version of the closer vision. I believe this to be the essence of leadership, because leadership should never be about how great any individual is. Leaders who believe that it's all about them, they want to be involved in every area of their organisation and micromanage everything, because they think they know how to do everybody's job better than their own workers or volunteers do. I imagine many of us have experienced leadership and management like that, and have probably hated working under it because you feel belittled and not trusted. And leadership of this kind rarely produces results, because one person trying to do everything cannot accomplish anywhere near as much as a team of people can. Intelligent leaders understand that, and so they make it a priority to build up those they lead, because they know that improving those they lead and trusting them to lead without looking over their shoulder all the time is what will grow an organisation. The most successful organisations in this world are led by people who look to delegate, who allow decisions to be made at the lowest possible level. Because when you entrust people with responsibility and build them up, then you end up with an organisation that is full of leaders, or potatoes, as some people are calling them these days. And leaders, as leaders, they're people who take responsibility, who make decisions and take action. When every ministry area has its own closer vision, ministry leaders can then be trusted and encouraged to lead their areas with the vision at the forefront of where they're leading. And in turn, ministry leaders can trust the people who serve in their ministry areas because of that clarity of vision. Yeah, I know that a lot of people hear the word structure and think of something rigid that limits people, kind of puts everyone in their own little box and says, that's what you do. And unfortunately, that is true of far too many structures. But when structure is done properly, the complete opposite is true. So one of the world's biggest performance management companies, the Gallup Organization, once spent more than 20 years trying to figure out which factors make organizations and the people in them work at extraordinary levels. They discovered that the most important predictor of success of an organization was how many people answered yes to this question. Do you have the opportunity to do what you do best every day? See, I want to get the structure of OCF right to free everyone, so that when you serve in OCF, you're doing so in ways that get the best out of you, that play to your unique strengths and abilities, that bring you joy in the way that God uniquely designed you to serve. See, this kind of freedom can also help us to build new ministry areas. There are people within OCF who have dreams of how they would like to serve God, using their unique abilities and passions. And when people have those new ideas that we need to help us achieve the closer vision, then having a structure that is focused on vision makes it easy to birth a new ministry area. It also makes it easy to see when things don't fit in with the vision, when we need to let things go sometimes. The biggest enemy of achieving any vision is not the difficulties that come from outside. Rather, it's the good things that you do that don't align with the vision that stop you from doing the great things that you could be doing that will align with your vision. As good as an idea may be, if you can't explain how it helps you to achieve the vision, it probably has to fall by the wayside. There's been a lot of time spent looking at structure in OCF over the last year or so. Some of you may have been thinking, why bother? It's a waste of time that could have been spent doing ministry. I don't think it's a waste of time, though. I think it's been an investment that will pay dividends in our future. See, I see the structure of any organization as kind of being like a car engine. If you really want to get the best out of an engine and have it at peak performance, you need to give it a tune-up every now and then. And of course, while you're tuning the engine, your car's not actually going anywhere. But if you tune it well, it can take you a lot further and faster once it's done and is worth waiting for. This time of looking at structure has been important because we've got a great vision and we have to put everything we have into achieving it. So I believe passionately in the importance of structure, but not for the sake of structure itself. You don't tune an engine so you can have a beautiful looking engine and then park your car in your garage and never drive anywhere. And you don't create a structure and then not use it to try and achieve anything. I'm passionate about the importance of getting our structure right, because I want to take this church out on the open road and see what it can do, if you see what I mean. I don't want to have great ministry areas for their own sake, or even for the sake of them coming together to make a church full of great ministry areas. I want those things to happen because it's great, God-inspired ministries that will reach people. People who need to know that Jesus loved them, loves them and died for them. And we're going to see that. They're going to see that through the lens of a community who live out the love of Jesus. Whatever part you play in helping OCF to achieve the closer vision helps us to reach people for Jesus. You may think it's only people who are part of certain ministry areas, like, say, street pastors or Servolution, that actually go out and serve people around Ormskirk who are doing that. But that's not true. If you help to set up on a Sunday morning, if you look after children in kids' church or creche, if you serve tea or coffee, you're helping to create an environment that people who don't know Jesus can come into. They can feel welcomed by, they can feel blessed in. Ministry matters because people matter. People are why ministry is worth doing and worth doing well. So there will be ministry changes over the course of this year. I can't tell you exactly what those changes will look like yet, but I can promise you that every single change we make will be done for the sake of reaching out to people who need Jesus. And every change will be made because we believe that it is the best way to reach people. Because nothing else matters in comparison to us reaching people. I'm going to close in prayer. Jesus, I thank you that you care so much for people, that you came and you gave your life for us when you didn't have to. I pray that we would all long to draw closer to you, and that as we do so, we would gain a better understanding of your heart of compassion for people. May we become so focused on you and the vision that you have given us, that we will be prepared to give everything to see this church reach and change so many lives for you, Lord. Amen.